Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all the way from the birth to the cross to the resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, when I was listening to the words of the song, the Lord prompted me about something, about Silent Night. I don't know if that night was so silent because the shepherds were woo-ha, you know. But there's something that God wants for you, and that's for your body to be free of dis-ease, free of chaos. And the scripture says in 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And he's not kidding. That's his desire for you to be whole. So if you've got any disease in your body, if you'll come down here right now, God is going to heal you. He's in the healing business. I tell you, he has healed over and over, and we're grateful for his healing, and we're just fully expecting that you'll receive your healing today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ron, if you'll come help me, and Danny, please come, and we will pray over you this morning. It's a great day to be healed. You've got a lot of things to do. You've got a lot of things you need to do over the season here. It's not over yet. Amen. And so it's a good day to be strong. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on down here. We'll start down here. Thank you, Lord. So you're going to have some sleep in heavenly peace this season. You're going to sleep well, and because Jesus has paid the price. And since he paid it, you can just have a healing. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, guys. Father, in the name. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus. Paid for our sins, his body. Paid for our healing in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing and health in the name of Jesus. He took those stripes on his back so that you don't have to live in the curse. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing for Jen and the babies in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for healing for my brother. Receive that anointing. The anointing removes the burden, destroys the yoke. Yeah. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good receiving. Thank you, Lord, for healing my precious sister. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing removing the burden right now. Thank you, Lord. You already paid. You already paid. You already paid. She doesn't have to pay. You paid. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The anointing removed that burden in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everything is all right in your system. It's all right. Your youth is renewed in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Cindy. Father, in the name of Jesus, the anointing. Thank you for a miracle, Lord, in this one. Thank you, Lord, for healing Cindy's body. Oh, yeah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You good? We're praying for you. You good? Okay, good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for healing Pauline in the name of Jesus. She goes through this season in total health. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we release that power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord just told me to tell you that dreams come true, and it's not too late. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is that everybody? Praise the Lord. You may be seated on this wonderful Christmas season day. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, we have some folks who are already traveling, but thanks to you guys for coming out. Hallelujah. God is good. If you're pulling your offering out, if you'll just hold on to it for a little while, we're going to do something different today. We're going to go to Matthew 2:1. Hallelujah. I want to introduce you to my friends, Janice and Cindy here. Janice and her husband, Tom, mean the world to me and Deb. Tom's already in heaven. And these were my bosses in Chicago. And so y'all know the story. So Tom and Janice were opened the door to some great success for me and Deb. And we'll never forget the kindness that they showed us and the blessing that they were in our lives and are in our lives. And, Tom had some funny stories. I so enjoyed hearing all his stories. Tom had this trick. He could sleep standing up. Didn't he? He could sleep standing. Because he would go for hours working. He was a big telephone guy. So he was awake a lot of hours and he traveled a whole lot. They've been all over the world, you know. But if he needed to take a quick nap, he might be standing in a circle with us and all of a sudden he'd be asleep. It was the coolest thing. As long as he didn't sleep while he was driving, right? Amen. Are you at Matthew 2:1? All right. Now after Jesus was born. That's where we are, right? After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, contrary to nativity scenes, the wise men did not show up at the manger. I hate to mess up your nativity set. Ours is still out there. We have all the wise men there. But they really weren't there at that time. The Bible says that they came to Jesus' house when he was a toddler, about 2 years after, and I'll prove it to you as we walk through this and give you some things that historians say. But according to people's different versions, some people say that Joseph and Mary and Jesus stayed in Bethlehem for a while. And then other people say that they went back to Nazareth. But what we do know is that they did live in Nazareth because Jesus is who? Jesus of Nazareth. And so they actually have done archaeological digs and found their home and such and such. And so we're not quite sure historically how that played out, but they were in Bethlehem. They could have stayed for a while. They went back to Nazareth, and then you know they went to Egypt, came back. Okay, now, so the wise men were really called the Magi. You know that, right? Come on, scriptorians, you know this stuff. And so they're not kings. They're not kings, but they have kingly behavior. And they had a lot of political influence. And they had so much political clout that they had the ability to depose a king with a single word. I mean, they were just powerful people. And even though they're not kings, they called them kingmakers. So they're pretty prestigious. They're pretty high up there. So they were elite. They're powerful. They're a wealthy group of high-ranking priests, not Jewish priests, but high-ranking priests who were devoted to interpreting dreams and studying the constellations. Now, they're scientists, they're politicians, and they're religious leaders. They make up all of this. And so, according to Rick Renner, who I trust, they're just staggeringly wealthy. They're just wealthy. And of course, if you could see the true picture of what they brought in, you'd totally understand that. So one time they accompanied a king, and I've never heard the name of the king, but I know they were headed to see Nero. And so they were taking this king. They went with him to take this king to see Nero. And Nero was so alarmed by it that he forgot about the king coming and just thought about them. I mean, he was panicked. And so he rolls out the red carpet and does all this stuff and gets gifts for all of them and everything. And they say that when they all left, that he threw a party because he's so thrilled that the Magi left and didn't depose him. And so you can see how powerful they are. That's the point. And so he spent a lot of money on that. And so can you see why Herod may have been threatened? Okay. See why he was so threatened. Now, here's the cool stuff. The biblical connection with Magi is Daniel. Daniel went into exile into the east. He went into Babylon. And so, even though he is, in captivity, he's exalted to a very high position in that king's kingdom. Yeah. And through several kings, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, y'all know the story. So on down the line, he's very popular. He's an interpreter of dreams. You remember the dreams that are still prophetic for us. And so Daniel in this high ranking place kind of, well, I won't say kind of, he started something. And so all of these magi came out of him and what he did. And so he was in Babylon about 600 B.C. So you see how long the generations came down and what all went on there. And he was actually, the scholars really actually believe he was the head of the magi. So Babylon is pagan. But Daniel's influence, his prophecies and his scriptures that he cherished, influenced everybody in that area that a Messiah would come. So all the pagan people are expecting Messiah the king to come at some point. There's an expectancy, not just with Jewish people, but actually with all the pagan people around the countries there. And so, in the years leading up to Jesus' birth, there's just this growing belief that a long anticipated leader was about to be born. Everybody had expectation. And so they're going to come from the east to see Jesus. The original says they came from the rising of the sun. Isn't that cool? I just like that terminology. They came from the rising of the sun. And so, we don't know exactly where this group of magi came from. But I want to stretch your picture a little bit. They came at least 1,000 miles. And it took 3 to 6 months to get there. And they came with fabulous gifts. And it took them 2 years to catalog and all these gifts, and then to travel to see the new king. Jesus is a toddler. He's coming up on two. And so, you know, there's a song, "We Three Kings." Can I tell you that that's not true either? They based those three kings. I know I'm popping all the bubbles in the room. Shucks. But, you know, we got to go with truth here. So the reason why people came up with that is because of the gifts that are mentioned, which are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So these are the highest commodities. Exactly. They're the most expensive commodities that exist. So that's why they're mentioned. But these guys are coming with, you know, it's a treasure trove. It's gifts. I mean, it's big. And so there weren't three. There were probably 12 magi. With 12 magi comes bodyguards and an army. So they're an entourage. Wherever they move to, they're an entourage. Church, can I tell you that when David went out to pick up Mephibosheth, He didn't ride out there with a couple of guys on a horse. Mephibosheth saw them coming, and it was a whole parade coming down that path. You got to get a picture. Kings didn't go anywhere with three people. Amen. And these guys probably weren't riding the camels. They were probably in those things where people are carrying them, you know, or in a wagon or something. But, you know, I know a black Escalade. Is that what they call them? It's probably what they were coming in. Is that what it is? Escalade? Is that a car? Okay. Thought I had that right. I used to watch Madam Secretary, so I saw her in one. Okay. And so their names have been debated over centuries. Gaspar, Melchior, Balthazar, but we don't know that. Those were probably just names of people then, but they got put on your little figure that that's who they were. That's sweet, but we really don't know that. Another bubble pop there. Anyway, there's probably about 1,000 people moving along in this thing. That's pretty big. And so they're traveling long distances and their upper crust. And what they did was, is they wore traveling clothes, kind of like, you know, you like to wear your sweats in the car, and then when you get somewhere, you change. Well, that's what they did. They wore traveling clothes, but right before they would come into a city, they would put on all these beautiful things. And people came out on the streets to see them. I mean, it's like people thought a parade was coming. They would line up and just, about ready, hey, the Magi's in town. And they'd watch this whole parade of this army come in. And so it was a big deal when the Magi came to town. It wasn't three guys sneaking over to the manger and saying, move out of the way, shepherd. I want to give this cigar box of myrrh. It was a big deal. Praise the Lord. And so people were filling the streets. Now, you remember that the Magi went to see Herod. You remember that? And so they're looking for the baby Messiah. Now, Herod is paranoid because, I mean, this guy fights hard to keep his throne. So he's just paranoid about this. And he even executed his own sons when he heard the rumor that they were planning an overthrow. He killed them. And so when the Magi shows up, he's just thrown into a panic. And one of the reasons why he's in a panic is because in 39 B.C., they actually supported an uprising to depose him. And so this is a scary time for him. He's like, uh-oh, here they come. And they're coming in force. This is a big one. So not only is he concerned that a king is being born, and they're hearing about it, but these guys are having a parade down the street, and they're saying, where's the King Messiah? Do you know where the King Messiah is? Where's the King Messiah? Hey, lady, where's the King Messiah? I mean, they're wanting to know where he is as he's marching. They're marching through these towns. They came through Jerusalem and did what they did. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, in fact, let's talk about it now. It's that star. There is a star. Now, a lot of speculation about the star. I actually have a video about that, and it's really cool and entertaining. But some people said it's Jupiter aligned with Saturn, which actually happened in 7 BC. So I don't know about that. And then there was Jupiter, Saturn, the moon, and the sun, and the constellation Aries. I don't know. I just feel like singing, this is the dawning. No. But so people say that. And that's actually recorded in time. And then Jupiter, interesting enough, it's associated with royalty. So in the constellations, Jupiter's pretty important. We've actually seen Jupiter lately.
Yeah.
Okay. And so these are ideas behind it. And you know, something could have been involved like that. People said it was a supernova. But there's something I want you to think about here. I want us to go back to the Bible. Mm-hmm. And the Bible said that it went before them till it stood over the young child. No fixed star can do that. This thing moved. And so it had to be some kind of miraculous phenomenon, as far as I'm concerned. Rick Renner agrees with me. That helps. And so, you know, maybe it was the brightness of his glory. Maybe it was angelic forces, some kind of light of God. But it did more than just shine in the sky and kind of point. It moved. And imagine if they're going through Jerusalem and they're going to, and so if I'm Jerusalem, the Christmas tree is Bethlehem, okay? And then if you're going to go to Nazareth, right before you get, there's 6 miles, but right before you get there, you would turn and go this way to go to Nazareth. And so that star had to do some, navigating. Wow. Amen. And so, the star actually led them, and there's lots of songs about it. You know, people have written poems about it. Just all kinds of things have been out there about that star. So what we see here then is they go and find him, and they find him in a house. He's a toddler. And they get to him and begin to open these treasures to him. This is before he makes his trip to Egypt. So they're financing his ministry here. They're financing his way to go, because Joseph would have had to stop work and move to Egypt. Can you see that? So when there's a vision, there's provision. Amen. And so... They went, they worshiped him, and it took all these servants to transport all this stuff. And the word treasures is plural, and so it's storehouses and cargo filled to the brim. I just want to make sure that you get that. Now, so what do we actually take from this story? What do you and I take from this? Because everything in here was prophetically fulfilled. It's historically fulfilled. But every scripture in the Bible also will bring you a revelation or bring you some wisdom. Mm-hmm. You get me? Okay. So there's revelation to be had here. And I just want to look for just a moment on how... the Magi helps us. So number one, an important ingredient here is that they were worshiping the king by giving. It's quiet in the church. Giving is a form of worship. And so I kept something in my heart that I heard Miss Gloria Copeland say years ago. It was when I first started listening to the Copelands years ago, and she was, it was her turn to preach, and she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, through this other lady, a lady named Carolyn, I actually remember her name, not Brother Jerry's wife, but another lady, that the Lord had told her, do not take an offering. Don't ever say, we're going to take an offering. We're going to take up an offering. I said, meaning God said, I said to worship me. So when we receive, you've noticed that we don't use that language here. We receive the offering when we're having our offering every Sunday and every Wednesday. We receive an offering. It is a time of worship. Offering time. We give a word so that you'll have faith in your harvest and in your protection. But the offering time is actually a time of worship. And that's what these guys did. They actually, I mean, they went down when they saw the king. They, excuse me, they got on their knees. They got on their faces. They worshiped Messiah, the king. And what did they do? They brought gifts. They gave. Amen. And so we don't take the offering, we worship. And when we worship our King, we should worship our King with something that cost us something. Not a tip. Amen. And so not leftovers like Cain did. Let me read to you Genesis 4:1. It says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, say process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought up the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, did I just read you something from Brother Hagin? Brother Copeland? I read it from the Bible. Okay? I didn't make it up. It's in there. God was pleased with Abel's offering. He had respect for it, but he didn't have respect for Cain's. Why? Because in the process of time, in the end of days, so he didn't give a first fruit. He didn't give something wonderful, the best. He gave last pickings, runt stuff. Yeah. On the other hand, Abel gave his biggest, bestest first. Yeah. He gave something great. Yeah. David was like this. He always gave something from his heart, something worthy. The Magi didn't come with three cigar boxes. They came to celebrate the King. They gave their best. They gave something, a heartfelt offering. Now, the word here is the Lord, is capital L-O-R-D. And this group, you've been taught what capital L-O-R-D is. That once God, Elohim, put his system into place, yeah, when you see the capital letters, that's the system working it and not personal to him, mm-hmm, not his own person. Mm-hmm. The system set up is the kingdom, but the system is seed time and harvest. That's the system. So the Bible says a man will not be mocked. Whatsoever he sows, he reaps. That's in words, finances, behavior, thought. All these things are always going to be based on the system he set up. That's why Jesus said the sower sowed the word and could get a harvest from it. That's why what you speak matters. What you give matters. How you behave matters, is because we're set up in a system called seed time and harvest. Genesis 8 says, as long as the earth remains, we'll live in the seasons and we'll live in seed time and harvest. Because you gotta dig a little bit. He's not just talking about the farmer out there planting something in the early spring and getting a harvest close to summer. He's talking about our lives. This is how it's going to go. He even talked about the seed of Satan and the seed of Mary. Did he? Bruising heads and heels? Yeah. Okay, I don't have time for that right now. But you know, so we're talking about seed. We're called seed. Amen. I'm the seed of Clifton Alexander. I came out of him. Amen. And so we understand that the whole earth right now is functioning. So if you're tired of all the bad guys and all the junk, there's a harvest coming. Yeah, it is. And justice will take place. Amen. Now, so we have that system set up, and then the word respect here, it's the word sha'ah, and that's a Hebrew word, and it means regard. And so if I respect Larry, which I do, I have regard for him. If I respect Danny, which I do, I have regard for her. I respect Addie. I have regard for her. Okay? You regard them. Well, it said that he respected Abel and his offering, but he didn't respect Cain. Now, is God mad?
No,
he set a system in order. This is how it works. God loved Cain. But there's a way that you get God's regard. It's worshiping him with who you are and what you have. That's how you get the respect of God. That's how you get the regard of God. You don't pay much attention to God. You just throw something at him. You just throw a few words at him. You just think a few things about, oh, yeah, it's Christmas time, blah, blah, blah. You know, but I mean, if he's precious to you, then you'll have precious thoughts, precious worship, precious gifts. Amen.
Yeah.
And if you'll listen to him, he'll tell you. Just early this morning, I was thinking about what I'm going to preach to you. And the Lord just tapped me and said, well, what are you going to give me? And for one thing, Deb and I are sending a Jewish person home from the Ukraine. So that's one gift that we're giving Jesus. You know, it is Jesus's birthday.
It is.
Jesse said that this morning when he was preaching. He said he and Kathy always give Jesus a Christmas present. We do too. And so, anyway, so I just said, well, yeah, okay. And he said, well, somebody gave you $100. I said, it's yours. And so I just put it in my pocket. And then as soon as somebody walked in the door, who will remain nameless today because I don't want to put any embarrassment or anything on them. But as soon as I saw him, I heard the word of the Lord say, there's who you give the gift to. And I was like, okay. It's that easy to worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, I would have given that in the offering today. But he told me to do that. But I'm also going to give something in the offering today. Yeah, but you see where I'm going? God knows what he wants to do. And he'll ask me for something. Will he ask you for something? What, I wonder why he would ask me, because he regards, because he knows I'm not bragging about myself. It's just what I've learned, but he regards you because you'll pay attention to what he's asking for, whether it's a kind word or a handshake or some sort of service or some sort of prayer or some sort of finances or some sort of prophetic word. He knows who he can call on for what. Amen. Amen. This is good. It's good for us to think about this. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do a little quick bunny trail here, and we're, because I'm almost done, and it isn't even 11 o'clock yet. Y'all are going to really beat the Baptist today to the restaurant. I'm kidding. This year, in 2023, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to focus on your 3 John 2. You are going to prosper, and you are going to be in health.
Yeah.
And you know all the stuff that goes with us. That the love walk. We're gonna have a season of working on relationships. We're gonna do some teaching on that, and some of the Pastor Danny's gonna help me with that. Some of the others, but we're gonna focus on you moving forward, so that you can be everything that God wants you to be. Now, when I say prospering is not just getting money. Prospering is taking the ability of God and blessing mankind with all of the abilities, with the anointing. Amen. With finances, certainly. And that's what we're talking about here right now. But that's what we're going to do. Now, back to the lesson here. So the kingdom is set up like the courts. So that's why people repent. You can go to the court of heaven and say, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. I command a crop failure over those words in the name of Jesus. Lord, I shouldn't have done that to that person. I repent. If you want me to say something to them, I will. Da, da, da. You know, y'all know. You get the picture. But all that's cleared out when you plead the blood. Amen. For us. Amen. Church, you understand that you are not a sinner.
Right.
Saved by grace. No, you're not. Those two don't go together. You are a child of the living God, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You were a sinner. You're saved by grace. You're not a sinner. Sinners sin. You sin for a different reason. You have a tempter.
Yeah.
You get tempted by the devil. Sinners have a sin nature. Uh-huh. That nature's been removed from you.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you're perfect. You're still making mistakes. You still, but you need to know who you are. You need to be a human being, not a human doing, and work from there. Well, that was free. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But you gotta get a hold of who you are, and then you won't sin as much. You know, you have the nature of your father. You're gonna make mistakes because we're still here and the devil's still here. But don't just throw yourself out with, oh, I'm just no good. I don't know. The church roof might fall in on me because I'm so bad. And no, you're not. You're saved by grace. Can I tell you you're healed by grace? Can I tell you that you're out of debt by grace? Can I tell you that you're free to move about the earth by grace? You're free to minister by grace. You're free to lay down in your bed and have peace. You're free to not get into a bunch of speculative imagination by grace. You don't have to wonder. I don't know. Miss Joy kind of looked at me funny. I don't know if she's mad at me. Well, maybe it's because.
Yeah.
No. Just ask her. You okay? And then when she tells you, take her at her word.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to believe women because they, honey, what's wrong? Nothing. We're going to change that this year. Communication.
Yes, so good.
For all of us. And don't, whoever you're thinking about right now, you need to get that out of your mind. Talking about you. Now, obviously, you know that I'm building up to something. We're going to receive our offering here in just a moment, right? That's what we're about to do. But I want to point out a couple of things to you. First of all, there was a woman who broke open expensive ointment and poured it on Jesus' feet. She gave something so precious and valuable that the thief got mad. Judas threw a fit that she spent some ministry money. Or he thought, if I get my hands on that, if she'll just put it into the ministry, he could steal it. Of course, y'all know the story. But it was extravagant. It was an extravagant gift. The Lord had so much respect for that extravagant gift that he said it will be a memorial forever. And I'm telling you the story 2,000 years later, because it's still a memorial.
Wow.
So extravagant gifts are good. However, there was also a widow who gave two mites. And we're still telling her story. And Jesus said, she gave more than you all because she gave everything she had. She emptied her pockets on that day and gave what she had. So it wasn't the size of the gift. It was the heart in the gift. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. So we see that this is all a heart matter. And both of these women are still respected today. So they both gave their best. Now, Scrooge, he's not in the Bible, but he is in this season. Scrooge had a lot of money, but didn't want to give anything. That's called greed. Y'all know Tiny Tim needed that goose. And it could use some crutches or something. Now, if it had been Jesus, he could have got healed.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
This is a Mephibosheth story, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Scrooge just wanted everything for himself. Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder, I mean, why? Why? Because he had fear. He had fear of not enough. He had fear that if he gave, he actually had no faith. He did not believe God. Because people who do not believe God won't give. They're going to hold on to what they have because they're so afraid that they won't have enough. This is a message for our coming years. Don't be afraid. When you give what God to, not because some preacher begged you for something, not because somebody emotionally got to you. Well, Pastor, that's not a very smart thing to say right before the offering. Yes, it is for us, because I'm not trying to raise a bunch of people that are prompted by emotions. You got to do what God tells you to do. And so, but what we see is that sometime in your life, you're going to give an extravagant gift. You will. And for some people, it might be two mites. And for some people, they're going to break open their treasure like that woman did and like the Magi did, and they're going to give out of their deep treasure. You see what I'm saying? Now, praise the Lord. Is everybody going, So, number two, and we're going to close with this. We're still very early. Jesus had a mission. And the Magi financed that mission, a trip to Egypt. And know this, just like Jesus had a mission, you have a mission. Mm-hmm. You have a mission on this earth. Mm-hmm. And just like Jesus, God will finance your mission.
Yes. Amen. That is
right. He'll finance your life.
He will.
If you have a vision, you will have provision. Well, you know, I'm just living life. I don't really know what to do. I'll just show up at church. No, you have a mission. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make this real simple for you. You have a mission to live good.
Yes.
Because it's a sign to unbelievers.
It is.
You have a mission to live healthy.
Yes.
You have a mission to, when you do get attacked, that you recover, that you win. That you move forward. To live good means that even if you're attacked, you overcome. Yes. Amen. Yes. And I want to add another victorious word here. You also get over it.
There you go. Go, girl.
Get over it. So I'm not just trying to be a smart aleck. Get over it. Get over the obstacle and move on to the places God has for you. You have a mission. God wants to support your mission. He wants to support your vision. Well, you know, I'm just a family person. Well, raising kids is a mission. Keeping your family together is a mission. But that's not all the mission that you have. You're connected to this family and you have a mission here. And you have a personal call on your life from God Almighty, and it's individual, and it's built just for you, and it's a mission that God will see you through.
Amen.
And He will finance it, and He'll grace it, and He'll give you wisdom, and He'll do all the things. Interesting that Jesus, He grew up in the family, and He learned a trade. And He went and sat under the teachers all the time, and so much that they had to go back looking for Him. Yeah. Because He was back there with Uncle Zachariah or somebody. Mm-hmm. Amen. But He's doing all these things. And do you realize that the first thing He did was turn water into wine? But the last thing He did was raise Lazarus from the dead. So He made progress. If you'll look at His miracles, He made progress as He went.
He did.
He did things. The first miracles, they grew creatively. Uh-huh. You remember blind man saw, but then But then he healed someone who didn't even have eyes. And he spit on the clay and put his DNA in the clay and put that on that man's face. And it created eyes. Because God is the creator. And that's another preaching altogether. But you have a mission. And so I want to tell you this prophetically. Breakthrough is here. It is entirely possible. And I'm telling you this prophetically, for 2023 to be the best year you've ever had in your life. You know, well, you know, my life's pretty good. Get out of the comfort zone. It's not just about you. Have the best year because there's a lost and dying world that needs for you to have the best year. I probably said this 5,000 times in 20 years. Well, Pastor, you know, all we need is for us four and no more. Well, you selfish thing, you. What about the rest of the people? What about the rest of the world? You need to have enough, more than enough. So you're not the helped, you're the helper.
Well, that's good. Amen.
And so, my personal goal, and I was talking to Jordan and Danny yesterday over some lunch, and I said, my personal goal is that I'm going to have more financial breakthrough. I'm not broke, but I'm going to have a better financial breakthrough because I have things to do personally. I want to be a bigger giver.
Yeah.
And that I'm going to have the health that I need to have.
Amen.
And that requires take any correction I need to.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So are you going to come with me this year? You going to come with me in 2023? You going to be blessed? We're going to prosper, be in health, and have very healthy relationships. That's our three prongs for this year. That is kingdom. That's right.